How do you do? When the man in this story was just 22 years old, he stuck a .38 pistol in his mouth to commit suicide. Actually, he had been killing himself for years using drugs and alcohol, because the world had snuffed out his desire to live. This is the story of how that changed, the true testimony of Earl Enkrum, and how his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Broadcasting true life stories that shout the good news, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Feeling unwanted is one of the cruelest emotions we can have, and one the homeless experience on a daily basis, as they search for food and shelter and are told to move on. Each one is welcome at Pacific Garden Mission, however. Thanks to caring friends whose financial gifts help keep the doors open 24/7, the mission provides nourishing meals, showers and fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Even medical and dental care are given at the mission clinic, all without charge. Pastors and counselors proclaim how they can change their lives through the power of the one who loves them and wants them in his family. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2914 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Here comes Dad. I told you he'd come home first.
All right, get in the truck, kids. We're going to go find your Ma.
Oh, come on.
I can't believe she lets you kids sit outside after school like this. She ought to be home fixing supper, but she'd rather sit in some bar using drugs and drinking. I'll fix her.
I grew up in Goshen, Ohio, a small country town, the oldest of four with two younger brothers and a sister. Dad was a hard-working coal miner, never drank or smoked, but he put in long hours, so I treasured the few times we had together hunting and fishing on weekends. I wanted to be just like him. Mom was rarely home when we came home from school because she drank and used drugs. None of us kids wanted to be like Mom. Dad would drag her out of bars, make her go home, and fix supper for us. Many nights I went to bed with a pillow over my head to block out the fighting, but nothing quieted the anguish within me.
Don't you talk to me like that!
Oh, you deserve it, hanging on that guy like some barfly. You got kids to look after, woman.
They're old enough to take care of themselves.
You should be here when they get home from school.
I would have been, but they asked me to help out at the bar.
And you put that ahead of your own kids? You're disgusting.
You had no right to come in there and shove that guy off that bar stool. We was just talking.
He's all over you, and you didn't stop him.
Who do you think you are treating me like that? You know, I ought to just divorce you, spoiling all my fun.
Mom always threatened to divorce Dad when she was drunk. Sober, she was great. She would clean, cook, bake, and watch TV with us, but she was rarely sober. At school, I got to join the Cub Scouts, but that only lasted one day.
Who told you that you could join them, huh? You didn't ask me, did you? I don't want you hanging around that church with a bunch of boys learning stuff about God. I don't believe in God, you hear?
Your mom's right, Junior. Religion is for suckers.
I'm going over there and tell them that you're not allowed to join.
My parents were atheists. At age 11, I got a stereo, and I'd sit in our room and listen to music on headphones, trading the awful reality of life for rock music. I had no idea how this would affect me, but I gravitated to acid rock and heavy metal sounds. The music kindled anger, satanic worship, immorality, and rebellion. My attitude and appearance was affected. I imitated the characters in the songs and dressed like the singers. By 11 o'clock, I knew Mom would be at a bar a few blocks from school, so I would leave school and go there.
Well, look at you, Junior. Pierced earrings.
You like them?
They're okay. How come you got that cross on upside down?
Ah, all the heavy metal guys wear them that way.
Whatever turns you on. But you know what? It's a religious symbol. I don't want nothing to do with that stuff.
Hey, Earl, you want to play some pool?
Sure.
You going to that concert Saturday?
If I could scrape up the money.
Yeah, too bad this place don't have punk music.
Yeah, the songs here drag you down.
Give me the mosh pit, man. That's where the action is.
The mosh pit close to the stage attracted crowds that often fought, giving me an outlet for my anger. I hung out with misfits, guys older than I, and I was obsessed with the desire to commit suicide. I tried it a few times. We drove around with our music blaring as we drank, smoked pot, and looked for girls. But in spite of my appearance with black eyeliner and hair down to my waist, the school found me a job with a trucking company when I was 15. One day the principal got hold of me.
Why do you wear that heavy black eyeliner, Earl?
The girls like it and the rock stars wear it too. What do you care?
I'm amazed you're allowed on the job looking like that. What do you do there?
Wash trucks, oil the booms. The boss has some horses and I get to take care of them too.
And your mane is longer than theirs. Don't they complain? Your appearance is despicable.
Well, the boss won't let me go on parts runs because he don't think the eyeliner represents the company. But he told me I am the best worker he has, so I don't care.
That's obvious. Why don't you do us both a favor and quit school?
You mean that?
Your mother's a drunk, your dad doesn't care, and you don't either, or you wouldn't cut class so much. You're 16 now. Sign the paper, and I'll never bother you again.
Where's the pen? I'm sick of school anyhow. I was sick of life and had already slashed my wrists once and overdosed a few times. On my 16th birthday, Mom gave me a fifth of whiskey. But I was buying my own by then because I was friends with the bar owners. I was completely controlled by alcohol and drugs and didn't want anyone telling me what to do. But quitting school had repercussions I didn't expect.
You lost your job. How come?
It was school-connected. My vocational teacher found me at the bar and tried to talk me into going back, but I told him no way.
You gotta find yourself another job, Junior.
I will. Besides, I'm moving in with one of my friends. I'm not taking orders from nobody. I want my freedom. My friend and I loved the same things. Liquor, music, drugs, and girls. His parents were in a cult, but we both professed to be Satanists. And our life was as wild and wicked as could be.
Man, I am totally wasted.
Well, I'm bored, man. Let's go find us some girls.
There's chicks here.
Oh, none that interests me.
All right. Hey, if we find some, we can go home and have a seance. Play the Ouija board again.
Okay, we gotta get some pot first. It's more fun if you're high.
Hey, that girl's coming on to me.
Oh, and her date don't like it neither.
Well, that's his problem. Hey, step aside. Make room for a real man.
So many times I could have died and wished I had. Once, after drinking a 12-pack of beer, I pulled in front of a truck that wrecked my car. The lawman gave me a DUI test that I passed, so he cited me for pulling out and then let me drive away. I wrecked 6 cars and a motorcycle. One night, I blasted through a cemetery and my car got stuck on a headstone. So I called my dad to come help me.
How in the world did this happen?
I didn't see it, Dad.
Your headlights working?
Yeah. All of a sudden, it was there. I couldn't stop in time.
You ain't even on the road, for one thing.
Yeah. I took a wrong turn, I guess.
What in the thunder are you doing in a graveyard this time of night?
I told you I took a wrong turn.
You been drinking, Junior? You're getting just like your ma.
Can you help me or not?
I think I can. Look, next time you be more careful about which way you turn.
But I wasn't careful about anything, especially the way I was going. Dad was right. I was just like my mother, and why not? All my relatives hung out in bars and drank or used drugs. All but my Aunt Joanne, who read to us before bed when we were kids. She came to the bar, but didn't drink.
Oh, what's new with you, Junior?
Not his attitude, that's for sure.
I heard you were working for the town cobbler.
Yeah, a friend of mine helped me get the job.
Well, you like it?
It's living.
You don't sound too excited about it.
I'm not excited about anything, Aunt Joanne.
Hey, we've been painting album covers on T-shirts. You like the artwork?
You painted that, Junior?
Yeah, cool, huh?
A mallet dripping blood? Oh, that's sick, honey.
Life is sick.
Man, you almost checked out the other night, didn't you? Took a bunch of uppers and downers with booze.
Oh, why are you trying to kill yourself, Junior?
Dying might be better than living.
Junior, if you ask Jesus to help you, he will.
I didn't know what she meant, so I quickly changed the subject. But her comment filled my thoughts many times. I was sick of life. The music, the drugs, drinking. They found me passed out in all kinds of places, by dumpsters on sidewalks here or there. I wanted to die because I was trapped and sick of myself.
Earl would get his wish, as we'll hear in just a moment. As the oldest continuously operating rescue mission in the nation, Pacific Garden Mission attracts many visitors, and we welcome every one of them. We hope you make it a point to drop by sometime to see for yourself how homeless people are sheltered and encouraged at the old lighthouse. Any day is a good day to visit and receive a tour of the facilities. But Saturday afternoon is special, because that's when we produce one of these testimonies for Unshackled, and you can be a part of the studio audience, watching the actors, sound effects, music, and director bring the story to life. Afterward, you're invited to join us for supper in the dining room, and then be part of our praise and testimony time, when everyone has a chance to praise the Lord for His goodness. It's a great way to spend the day. For information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
One night, while I was drunk and high as usual, I tried to climb in a car full of girls. One of them was Amy, who was still in high school. She was a blonde preppy, and she was just beautiful. Later that year, I followed her around a festival in town and slipped her my phone number. She actually called me, and we began dating. How come you won't go into a bar with me?
I don't like those places, Earl.
They're my second home.
Well, now that's sad.
Why?
Well, you know, you drink too much. You're spaced out a lot.
Well, I can't believe you don't drink or use drugs. That's weird.
That it all tastes bad to me.
You sure are different, Amy. Not like any other girls I've known.
Maybe you've been looking in the wrong places.
I've stopped looking at all.
Don't get too fond of me, Earl. I really do not like your drinking.
I'll cut back, Amy. I promise. Every time Amy threatened to break up with me, I doubled my efforts to cut back on drinking. But I couldn't really change. After she graduated from high school, she moved in with me, and within a few months, she was pregnant. I was 20 years old and too drunk to take her to the hospital the night our daughter was born.
I don't think you care about me, Earl.
I do, Amy. I wouldn't want to live without you.
Then how could you let me go through labor alone?
Things will be different now that we have a daughter.
Why don't we get married, honey?
No way. I told you that didn't work for Mom and Dad. Why would it work for us?
Because we can't go on like this, Earl. No, we can't go on like this.
I got a promotion at work. I'm the cobbler now. They need somebody who's dependable and trustworthy, and the other guy wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I know you've always worked hard, Earl, but you got to stop drinking.
I'll take care of you and the baby, Amy. I promise. And I'll try harder to change. Two years later, I was still a drunk. The music played all day in the store, and I sold alcohol there, too. It kept pulling me into the black hole of addiction. One night, I came home early and told my daughter to get me a beer. As she brought it to me, I remembered taking beer to my mother and how I hadn't wanted to grow up to be like her. I didn't want my daughter to grow up the way I did, and I told myself, I am done drinking. I'm done with drugs. I quit. But of course, I couldn't quit. And leaving the shop one night, I put a .38 in my mouth because I knew my life was hopeless. Thank God I didn't pull the trigger. But I did do something radical. I turned off the music in the store, and from then on, I was able to process thoughts like never before. One night in a bar, I had an unusual conversation with an Air Force recruiter named Myrna.
Did you get home okay the other night, Earl?
Yeah, Myrna. Thanks for helping me get a ride.
You were spaced out. I didn't think you should be driving.
I need to quit drinking.
Well, that's why I never started. If you don't take the first drink, you never have to worry about the last one.
I've been trying to quit for years, and you know what I've decided?
What?
I'm gonna find God. If there is a God, I am gonna find him.
Now, what brought you to that conclusion?
Well, I saw a movie recently, and it convinced me that hell is a real place.
You know, Earl, you ought to come to my church one Sunday.
Huh. I knew there was something different about you. I told some of the guys my plan, and they just laughed. They said religion would mess me up worse than anything.
Oh, not true, Earl. If you want to quit drinking, Jesus is the answer.
You're home early for a change?
Yeah, I'm going to church tomorrow.
You?
Me. Myrna invited me to her church. She gave me directions and everything.
That Air Force recruiter you're always talking about?
Yeah. She never drinks, and now I know why.
You just want to be with her.
Oh, that is not true, Amy.
All you do is run around with other women. This is just another way for you to be together.
I swear it's not. I want to find God. I need his help. You're welcome to go with me.
You'll never go.
But come Sunday, I was there. Myrna wasn't, so I guess she thought I wouldn't show up either. It was January and very cold, and I'd been drinking that morning, so I probably smelled like a brewery. I still had hair down to my waist and a couple of earrings in each ear. My soul was sorrier looking than my body, and the people acted kind of scared of me. They didn't know that I just wanted peace. Well, that was different.
You actually went to church?
Yes. Myrna wasn't there.
Well, what'd you think of it?
Well, I was kind of shocked. The preacher cussed a few times.
During the service?
Yes. Several times he said, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Earl, that's normal. Haven't you ever gone to church?
No, never.
Well, he wasn't cussing.
All of my life I had heard the name of Jesus only as a swear word. Myrna asked me to go again the next Sunday, so I went. But I kept drinking through the week, wanting to change so badly, looking for peace. The third week, a man came into the store and said he was from the church.
I came to share the gospel with you and tell you that you need to get saved.
Saved? What's that?
Well, you know that you're a sinner.
What do you mean?
You drink.
Yeah, everybody does.
You do drugs.
Sure.
You're living with a girl.
So? It's what most people do.
Look, let me show you in the Bible what God says about those things. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, and this is about the day of judgment from Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
I've actually been thinking about those things, but I don't know what to do.
Earl, are you sick of your lifestyle? Do you want to change?
You don't know how bad I want to change.
If you're willing to repent, turn away from your sins, your ways, and turn to Christ and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and to save you, he'll change you, and you'll be different. You'll never be the same.
I want to do that. Let's go to church so I can be saved.
You can get saved here, right now.
What do I got to do?
Is there some place you can get on your knees?
Back there where I fix the shoes.
Okay. You tell God in your own words that you want him to save you for Jesus' sake.
Lord, I am so sick of my life. Sick of living the way I live, and I need help. I
can't help myself. I repent of my sin and I want you to change me. I'm sorry for all the things I've done. Please, God, come into my heart and save me. Change me, please, God. Amen.
Earl, welcome to God's family.
Man, I feel like a ton of bricks just came off my back.
That's new life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Oh, thank you for coming here to help me.
Look, I want to give you these tracts and a Bible.
Okay.
It's the Word of God. When you feel like drinking or anything else wrong, you read this Bible.
Amy, I got saved today.
You?
Me. A man from the church came to the shop and told me what to do. I got on my knees and everything. He gave me this Bible to read.
Well, now I've heard everything.
But you ain't seen nothing yet.
You're pouring out your booze.
I'm through with drinking. I've been trying to quit for a long time, and this is the only way. But that's not all.
You know, you're kind of loopy, Earl.
I got some pot stashed in the speakers here.
What?
And I'm going to flush it down the toilet.
Oh,
I'm through with the drugs, too.
This is amazing.
I've never read a book all the way through in my life, Amy, but I'm going to read that Bible. It's the Word of God. 3 days later, I had cut my hair off. The same day, I went back to the bars and I put tracts in the bathrooms. I told everyone, Earl Ankrum won't be drinking here no more. They asked me to leave. My family was in an uproar, too.
I heard you got religion. What's wrong with you, boy?
I got saved, Dad. Jesus saved me from all my sins.
Well, I'm glad to see you finally got your hair cut, but all that religious talk is stupid.
Dad, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. If you don't believe that, you're going to hell.
Oh, I don't believe in hell.
Well, whether you believe it or not, hell is real, and I don't want you to go there.
Oh, you're crazier than I thought.
You never wanted me to drink like Mom, but I did, and couldn't quit. Jesus took away the booze and the drugs just like that. He can change you, too.
Oh, I never did drink or use drugs. I don't even smoke.
You're still lost. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Oh, come on.
So we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Well, get out of here, Junior. Go on. Get out of here with all that talk.
I went from being popular in the family to being a nut. Mom and Dad, my brothers and my sister, my aunts and uncles all stayed away from me. Dad would see me on the street and drive by wagging his head. My pastor took me aside one day.
I heard you've been putting tracks in bars.
Till they run me off, I did. So now I stand on the street waiting for my friends to come out, and then I tell them how to get saved.
Why don't you consider going to Bible college?
What for?
Higher education? 4 years beyond high school.
You said Jesus could come back today, right?
Well, sure. No one knows for sure when he'll return.
All my friends are lost, drinking and drugging themselves to death. They're searching for the same thing I was looking for, something to fill the emptiness inside, and they're going to hell. I can't see wasting my time sitting in a place like that while they die and go to hell. I have to tell them now. A week or so after my salvation, I told Amy we were getting married. I didn't ask romantically. God's word compelled me. And we married on April 5th, 1992. She had been saved earlier and prayed for me, but didn't tell me until I was saved too. I bought a Bible on cassette and listened while I followed along reading scripture. In that way, I learned to read better and faster.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amy, this is wonderful. The Bible has all the answers for life, and we have to know God's word so we can obey it.
You're right. I am so glad you want to do everything that you're learning from the Bible. The changes in you are, they're more than I ever could have dreamed of.
Jesus took our place on the cross. He died our death, went to hell for us. Once you know that, you have to obey and tell others about him.
That's what he told us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
And that's what I've got to do. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." I started preaching in nursing homes, street corners, jails, prisons, anywhere there was an open door. I worked a secular job while preaching in a detention facility for almost 8 years. I want to tell everybody about Christ because he is the only hope, and today I'm still telling them in full-time evangelism to America. God gave me a burden for struggling churches in small towns, and I go out and knock on doors and preach on streets to help them reach people with the gospel. The message is still the same. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
That salvation is for you, listening friend. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus promised, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You can make that journey from death to life by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you right now, wherever you are. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago is 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website at unshackled.org. If these true testimonies brighten your day, we'd love to know that, and so would the manager of this station. Write or call to say thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2914. Heard in the true story of Earl Ankrom were Kurt Nabig, Judith Easton, Chuck McLennan, Dan Frick, Tom Geitch, and Jill Schallebarger. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Patrick Wood. Director, Mickey O'Donnell. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Kim Rasmussen. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.